Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A reminder, about a half hour from now, we'll get into the Federal News Countdown for this week. Josh Soslack of Clio Strategies and Derek T. Dorch of the Diversa Group, my guests, and I'll tell you more about them, their federal credentials, and we'll get into their stories a half hour from now on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Interesting story in Wired magazine on their Danger Room blog. Helmand Province in Afghanistan isn't the most obvious proving ground for a green energy project, but a marine company that shipped out to war armed with solar panels says it cut down on its generator's fuel consumption by nearly 90%. That might just get the rest of the military to note that you can battle insurgents and carbon footprints. At the same time, I'll have a link to that story at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. One of the preeminent experts in alternative fuel use in the military is General Charles Wald of Deloitte. And General Wald, my guest now, thank you for being on the program today, sir. It's great to have you.
Thanks a lot, Francis. Good to be with you.
There are a couple of different approaches to this, as you and I were talking about before we went on the air. This idea that the solar panels are actually being taken into the combat zone is just one of the ways the Pentagon's approaching this, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, let me start with kind of baselining where the military is on energy, and I think most people understand energy is important to everything we do in all aspects, but particularly the military. The military has a huge amount of energy they use on a daily basis, particularly in the combat zone. But to put it in a little bit of a perspective, the U.S. military uses about 1.7% of the energy used in the United States, a very small number in relative terms. But in fact, at 0.7% of the energy used in the United States, the U.S. Air Force is the largest single user of energy in the world, which is interesting. So they have a large number, but they don't have the ability really to change kind of the dynamic on their own, if you will, the market.
Mm-hmm.
The military really has three problems they have to work with. One is their fixed installations, their normal main operating bases have energy use in a large way. And that can be fixed via traditional ways. It's not very challenging. It's just a commitment. And they're going toward that with conservation and smart grid, et cetera. The other two areas, the forward operating base that you already alluded to, Francis, is a difficult problem because of the fact that most of our vehicles are high energy users. We have generators that need high energy, which diesel fuel type things. And in fact, the largest number of casualties in Afghanistan have come from IEDs, roadside bombs on convoys. Now, the interesting part, the large part of those convoys, the largest weight, I guess, is liquid. It's either water or fuel. And so you can directly relate casualties to the fuel use in our forward operating bases. So there's a compelling reason to get away from that use. And your article you pointed out is one way to do that.
It's fascinating to me the idea of carrying that kind of technology there. What kind of R&D went into solar panel technology? Obviously, is pretty standard operating procedure in alternative energy fields. But the R&D of making the panels deployable, I guess, is where I'm headed. What's involved there?
Yeah, well, the Marine Corps actually has taken the lead on the forward operating base energy use and done a good job. And they've had a couple of events that they brought in industry for industry days, one at Quantico, another one at 29 Palms in California, to look at off-the-shelf technology, basically commercial off-the-shelf, existing technology that doesn't have to be, you know, R&D research and developed over time. That can be easily modified to be applicable for this forward operating base use. Whether, you know, it could be a micro refinery that uses trash locally to generate fuel, for example, or other ways. It could be maybe more efficient batteries, lightening the load a little bit, or better generators, as were discussed, in quieter generators. So that's the immediate fix because of the compelling need to have our troops obviously out of danger more because of these convoys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being pretty successfully employed by the Marines. And the compelling part was when we finally realized what these convoys were doing to us, specifically in Afghanistan. On the larger number of fuel, where the, say, airplanes, helicopters, ships, boats, big, large ships, aren't going to be lend themselves to, say, a solar panel type solution. So they're going to have to use a fuel that is compatible with the engines they use today, a fuel that's just exactly like diesel. but an alternative fuel. And the reason that's important is because not only because of the cost of the fuel, but the fact that we need to have an assured supply. And almost 70% of our oil that we use in the United States is imported today. And most of that fuel is imported from places that aren't necessarily friendly to the United States or have the same foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about the situation in the Middle East with Iran, et cetera, and 25% of all the oil from the world comes from that region. So we're basically every day on the cusp of a crisis of fuel shortages. So one of the issues we're working with industry, and I won't name who, but is an aviation fuel alliance to develop an alternative drop-in aviation fuel that's made from a biomass of some sort, and we're agnostic to that, that could be purchased by the U.S. government to actually make an assured supply for our military, and could be translated into civilian use too. But that's in the process right now, and it looks very, very, looks like it might be successful and very appealing to both the military and to commercial use. But the amount of money the military spends on energy per year is going to have to be decreased. And inevitably, it isn't there now, but it is in Europe, but we'll eventually get to the point where there's a carbon penalty for using traditional petroleum made out of fossil fuel, and that cost will be prohibited. So the time is now, both for compelling reasons for saving lives and from a monetary standpoint, to make the switch.
You, when you described some of the techniques that are possible or potential sources to power solar panels and other sources of energy, the phrase "living off the land" came to mind because it seems that's kind of where people will go in, military will go in and see what's available and what can be potential sources of power. How does that kind of fit with the idea that you need to have assured sources, as you call them?
Well, I think the number one issue is that there isn't any, as they say, silver bullet answer to any of these problems. It's what we would probably describe as silver buckshot. So the real issue is how do you develop a system, let's say, where there are various alternative types of fuels that can be used with the types of systems we need that can be translated into, say, a diesel-type fuel. And so it isn't going to be any one particular solution. It may be a solution based on local availability of assets that could be translated into fuel, whether it be wood or some type of biomass, some kind of plant, or even waste, let's say. In Europe, there are several instances where civilian airfields with commercial airliners are doing a project to use local garbage and waste to develop a local refinery to develop diesel fuel. That's one example. And I think so the issue will be creative thinking, maybe using local availability of resources, some of the things like you talked about with solar panels, COTS off-the-shelf commercial capability, and then some creative ideas on how to commercialize and scale some of the biomass capability that's so appealing to us and so promising, I think, right now today. And the question is, how do you send a market signal to private equity to say this is going to be the winner? And governments don't pick winners very well from the standpoint of marketplace. It's usually the market has to kind of decide what that is. And so I think we're getting ready to create a signal from a public-private partnership with commercial aviation and the military aviation to send a signal out that says, we're going to need this type of fuel for this length of time at this price. Now that will take some legislative relief for a longer-term contract, but I think based on national security, that can be done. So I think there are people in various levels of government and in various places in industry now that have come to the conclusion that this is a compelling national security need, and there is a economic and a business case model to be made for this.
My guest is General Charles Wald. He's a retired Air Force four-star and now with Deloitte. And, General, you mentioned commercial off-the-shelf solutions for some of these things, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, how difficult it is to make some of those COTS solutions work in the military framework and inside the military construct. We'll do that when we continue in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The production of high-quality chocolate and the farmers who grow it will benefit from the recent sequencing and assembly of the chocolate tree genome. An international team, including scientists from the National Science Foundation, sequenced the DNA of a variety of Theobroma cocoa, considered to produce the world's finest chocolate. Many growers currently prefer to grow hybrid cocoa trees that produce chocolate of lower quality but more resistant to disease. Increasing the productivity and ease of growing cocoa can help to develop more sustainable economies. Other genes also found that influence the production of flavonoids, natural antioxidants, hormones, pigments, and aromas. Altering the genes for those chemicals could produce chocolate with better flavors, aromas, and even healthier chocolate.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
We're talking with Tom Hicks. He's the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy.
Part of the Secretary's goals is that by 2020, half of our energy will come from alternative sources. And so by that timeline, and based on our working with industry, we feel that the fuels will be competitively priced with petroleum at that point, and we'll be able to use those as drop-in replacements into our ships, into our aircraft.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is General Charles Wald, Air Force General retired and now with Deloitte. And General Wald, in the last segment, we were talking about commercial off-the-shelf solutions available when it comes to alternative energy. A number of folks have told me, both in and outside of DOD, that it is difficult sometimes within that agency to implement COTS solutions just because, well, a number of reasons, especially in the procurement realm and in ascertaining specifications and so on. Talk about the challenges that are there a little bit and how you're seeing vendors being able to either to work through those to make these solutions available.
Yeah, well, as you point out, COTS is a little different process, and it that doesn't necessarily fit the acquisition model all the time. But in combat, where you have a compelling need to, as we mentioned earlier in the discussion, a compelling need to provide our troops with the best capability they can and the best chance for survival, there are ways to acquire things through a COTS process, through a commander's joint urgent need statement, for example. And so I think the first thing that has to be done is that there needs to be a statement by a combat commander, somebody like Dave Petraeus, let's say, or one of his field commanders, that they need something urgently to be able to to succeed in battle. And that is being done. And that those statements are very, very powerful, and there are ways the system can work to get a solution to that. One of those is the solar panels that you pointed out in the article that you showed us earlier. But the COTS solution doesn't necessarily fit the standard acquisition model. So I think there needs to be some creativity on the part of the DoD contracting people, as well as the commercial side, and the dialogue needs to be there. But I'm confident that if there is a capability available today that would give our warfighter a better chance to succeed at a forward operating base, that need can easily be put into a contract and acquired. Now, the other thing that we need to remember is that once you start depending on that capability, whatever it may be, we need to have some kind of assurance that capability will continue to be there for a long term. And so that's part of the situation as well.
The thing that I think is fascinating about this article as I read through it is kind of the context, where we stand as a country. I know you've been paying attention to these issues for a long time, alternative and renewable energy sources in the military, but not a lot of people have. And if this article had come out, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, there would have been a lot more snickering than people say, and I think this is a great idea. What does that say to you about the understanding, not just within the building, but throughout the entire defense industry and the country as a whole, about how important this is?
Well, I think, as you alluded to, I think historically for us, or at least over the last several decades, the idea of alternative fuels has always been associated with clean energy and climate change and, you know, decreasing the amount of carbon that we emit. And there, you know, I mean, I'm not telling any secrets here. There's been a debate between those that believe the carbon and climate change issue is not necessarily as significant as it is, and there's others that believe it is pretty significant. Frankly, I think the consensus is that we need to address the carbon, the human-made carbon in the world today. But interestingly enough, over that time when the debate was basically between the greenies and the people that weren't necessarily so interested in the environment and climate, the change, I guess, really came. The first time was the first oil disruption, but the last time was the latest one in 2008 when energy or oil went up to $147 a barrel. That got everybody's attention. Then it became an economic issue. And lastly, though, and I think I think our Deloitte article on the energy and the defense of America issue based on the casualties in combat, I think actually started to resonate quite a bit. And there was a coincidental study done by the Marine Corps on the convoy issue with IEDs about the same time. And I think we've now come to the realization that this is not necessarily only about climate change or economy, it's about lives. And once you start talking about our soldiers' lives in the field, all of a sudden things become very serious. So I think we're at a tipping point now where I think there's enough understanding of the immediacy of this problem, not just from an economic or a climate standpoint, but from a survival and a success standpoint in the field, that we're now going to change. And I think Secretary Mavis in the Navy and CNO Roughhead have given a great leadership example on what they're doing with their 50-50 by 2020 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're there.
The number that jumped out at me in this piece was that the Marine Corps says the energy generated by those solar panels I talked about at the beginning of our program have dropped generators' fuel consumption from 20 gallons a day to 2.5. And when you multiply that by the number of people that don't have to cart that much fuel into the combat zone, and then think about the scale of fuel that's used, that's when you start to really get to what you were talking about earlier, about saving lives and tactical gains, too. General, when we come back from this break, I'd like to maybe ask you to shine your crystal ball up a little bit and tell us where you think this is headed. My guest is General Charles Wald with Deloitte on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to EnergyRecoveryOnline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to EnergyRecoveryOnline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's EnergyRecoveryOnline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you, and the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and my guest is Deloitte's General Charles Wald, and talking about alternative energy resources in the military. And General Wald, if I could ask you to shine up your crystal ball and think about some trends that you're seeing and where this might be headed. As I mentioned, if we would have talked about the idea 10 years or so ago that the military was going to be taking, Marine Corps in this case, taking solar panels into Afghanistan, people would have probably in some quarters made fun of the idea. Now it seems like a real smart idea, especially in light of some of the conversations that you and I have had. Where is this headed? How far can this be taken, do you think?
Well, it's a good question, but I think we're just at the beginning of a major shift in how we approach energy and how we use energy, what our sources are, and how we build our capabilities to fight with. The acquisition regulations now require fuel as a the fully burdened cost of fuel. That's basically how much fuel a system uses over the lifetime of a system, say a truck or airplane or whatever, to be one of the competitive issues that has to be put into the contract. And that's a significant issue. So that alone, from the standpoint of how contractors are going to approach competing on systems, will make a big change. I think also that the United States in general realizes now that clean energy is not only a compelling issue for the climate, but it's also an economic and a global competitiveness issue. And there's a business case to be made from that perspective, too. So that will drive it as well. And then the last part is how we fight. And we're in a situation now, I think, in the world where we're in a persistent conflict. We're not going to be going to war in a big way and fighting for a year and a half or so and then coming back and then maybe having a lull for a while and then go back 10 years later. We're in a situation where we're in our lifetimes, I think, we'll be seeing the United States in conflict, maybe not at the level we're at in Afghanistan and Iraq today, but in general conflict around the world in some way every day for the rest of our lives because of the way the situation is. So we're in a situation where cost, and cost is always an issue, but cost is really becoming a huge issue. And the cost of fuel is, in my belief, is only going to go up with the emerging markets of China and India particularly. The demand for traditional fossil fuel energy, oil in this case, is only going to increase. And even though we'd like to see, I think, a decrease in fossil fuel use based on the fact that we are concerned about the environment and climate, I don't think we're going to quite get there in the immediate future. So there's going to be that demand, and that will increase costs. So increasing the supply through alternatives and decreasing the use through better efficiencies and better conservation are going to be hugely compelling. And then the last part would be this issue that really, I think, drove from the military perspective the whole issue of getting serious about alternative energy, and that's the use in the forward operating bases and the fact that one of the major dangers is getting the fuel there and the major costs. So all those issues are going to drive the United States military to going clean and more efficient. And I think we're just a kind of a microcosm of what's going to happen in the United States writ large. And going in that direction will do all the things we hope it will. It will help our economic security. It will help our national security from the standpoint of our military assured capability, and it will help our environment and climate.
General, excellent insight, and I appreciate your time for talking about these issues today and look forward to having you come back as this continues to evolve. Thank you again for doing it.
Thanks a lot.